Our guest in this half hour to discuss that and other matters is Nick Guthman, who is the founder and executive director of Our Blue Future. Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Brad. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Before we ask you about to talk about Our Blue Future, I'd like to ask you about the Sanders proposal, and now there are several of them from the Democratic presidential candidates, to lessen or eliminate college tuition debt. And my question is, there are a lot of big issues in the campaign. National health care, climate change, student debt. Why is the issue of student debt so important compared to some of the other issues? Because reality is a person can just deal with so much at the beginning of his or her presidency. Why the priority for dealing with student loan debt?
Well, I think it's about freedom, really. I think that's what is at stake. And in these proposals, what is being offered is what every generation before mine has had, which is the freedom to choose to work and to live the way they'd like to live. Myself and friends included, you know, around the country are just strapped by so much debt that we have to take jobs we may not like. We have to live places far away because we can't afford rent, which is another huge issue. And we don't have the freedom to prosper in the way that many generations before us have been able to do. And you know, as this Bernie Sanders said earlier in the segment, with the average debt of $30,000 after college, oftentimes more for students of color, and you know, it's really about figuring out ways for people to live fully in what they'd like to be doing in the world. And we're not able to do that. And as it relates to the progressive movement, students and young people across the country are with us on the issues. They're with us on addressing racial justice in our country, immigration, reproductive freedom, health care, climate change, and the rest. But they're forced to take jobs that don't allow them to live their values. And so ultimately for me, these proposals are about giving my generation the opportunity that other generations had to live the life that they'd like to lead.
You know, one thing Senator Sanders said today, and it was a very good point, is because young people are so preoccupied with their paying their student loans, they don't have the money to buy new homes and to do a lot of make other major purchases. And Senator Sanders said what this does besides everything else is would stimulate the economy, because all of a sudden people would have more money to buy homes and make other major purposes. So the senator pitched this as an economic stimulus plan, which I think makes a lot of sense to me. Nick, you're the founder and executive director of an outfit called Our Blue Future. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Blue Future is a youth organizing program that I started with several friends of mine after graduating from college just in 2017. And our goal is to organize young people around progressive electoral campaigns. And in some ways, it's related to the student debt proposals, because what we see ourselves as doing is building the infrastructure in the field to help Democrats win key races in the House and the Senate, and of course, the White House in 2020. And over the long term, we're developing a diverse leadership pipeline to strengthen the future of the Democratic Party and the progressive movement, which is so sorely underinvested in terms of building up leadership for our side, especially in comparison to the conservatives. And again, many young people are not able to join us in the movement because of student debt. And in addition, many young people aren't able to join us because there are not enough resources to give people the opportunity to fight for candidates they believe in. And so, you know, our mission really is to engage, to mobilize, and connect with students and young people across the country, ages, 16 to 24, high school and college students, and equip them with the resources in terms of funding, as well as tools, skills, and network to be effective campaign organizers, and eventually public servants.
Okay. What advice would you give, Nick, to the Democratic presidential candidates in terms of what they need to do to mobilize young voters to vote for a Democrat or against Donald Trump?
Sure. We know young people, majority overwhelmingly know that Donald Trump is not our guy. That is a fact, and that is clear. But at the same time, young people are split on which Democratic candidates to support, and there are many great choices out there, and excited to hear more about people's plans during the debates. I think, the biggest advice that I can give is putting forth a vision for a better world. We know young people are hopeful and optimistic about the future, and although narrative may tell us otherwise in some cases that young people are not involved, young people don't care about the future, we care more than almost anybody because we're the ones who are going to be stuck dealing with all the decisions that are made now. And so I think big proposals, that really put forward a vision of a country that we can be proud of, such as a country where students can go to college to learn and to educate and to serve their communities without being strapped by debt, a future world where we actually address climate change we don't have to deal with healthcare and the rising cost of healthcare because most other developed nations have figured out a way to resolve that. Putting forth a vision that can actually be achieved on those issues and really sticking to the issues that young people care about would be one of my biggest pieces of advice for the Democratic nominees. And in addition, I think really providing many opportunities for young people to engage with the candidates, equipping them with tools that enable them to have conversations with their peers, and turning young people into organizers, not just voters. Of course, we have to register people to vote, but campaigns have a role to play in equipping folks who are interested in their campaign with message guidance and tools and social media posts that enable them to really do some peer-to-peer outreach and talk to their friends and families about why this candidate or that candidate is right for our generation.
Okay. Our guest in this half hour is Nick Guthman, who is the founder and executive director of Blue Future. We're on break now, but when we get back, we'll have more with Nick and talk more about young people, young Democratic activists. We are back with more of Deadline DC with Brad Bannon. Our guest in this half hour is Nick Guthman, who is the founder and executive director of Blue Future. Before I get back to Nick, our producer, Steve Trippi, has a question for Nick. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you, Brad. Yeah, my question, Nick, is as a younger man, but I'm still, I guess I'm the older side of the millennial generation, if you will. I'm in my early 30s. I'm a New York State resident. And I get really frustrated at the lack of involvement of people that vote in states that I would say, I'm sorry to say, matter, like California, 40 million people, Texas, 25, 30 million people, New York State, 18 million people. The three most populated states in our country don't matter at all in a national election. When you run for president, you're running for the president of Pennsylvania, Florida, and Ohio. No other states matter. And if you want to talk about involvement and getting people to care, we need to have an honest conversation about how our system actually works and how votes actually count. And shouldn't more people just matter more? I understand that we're concerned about the tyranny of the majority, but I would say in this country, the way our electoral college works, we really pretty much have a tyranny of the minority. Less people matter more in the way the system is currently constructed. And it never seems to ever be an issue when they have town halls and ask the issues of the Americans in the debates. how we actually set up the system never seems to come up. Why do you think that is?
I think that's a great question. And we're starting to see movement on the fundamental structural changes that we could implement for our democracy. You know, Blue Future was so proud to have helped elect 17 Democrats to Congress in 2018. And we're seeing such a difference that it has made to have Democratic control of the House of Representatives. I believe the first bill that they brought to the floor and passed was H.R. 1, which was a sweeping reform for our democracy, everything from campaign finance laws to automatic voter registration so that everybody could participate. While I'm not totally clear if there was discussion about the Electoral College, I totally agree that the Electoral College is not serving our country's democracy in the way that it was intended to when it was first established. I think it's the role of young people, old millennials, younger millennials like myself, and people who are even younger than I am in Generation Z, to demand a better system, to demand a more vibrant and inclusive democracy that takes into account everybody in this country. We have to demand that system and structural change. And we're starting to hear some of the presidential candidates talk about these things. You know, in the meantime, you know, while big structural change will take a long time, and again, young people's role is to demand it, we have a responsibility to fight for the type of country we'd like to see. And it's nobody else's job but ours. And it's a call to all young people listening that we can demand a better system. But in the meantime, I think we really need to understand that even if we're in California, where I grew up, if we're in New York or other states that don't maybe matter as much in the presidential election, we all have something to contribute. We all
Nick,
yeah,
we're running
go
out
ahead.
Of time, so let me ask you another question. What makes your generation and Steve's generation distinctive from the politics of old baby boomers like me?
I think there's several things that may make us different, whether it's the prevalence of or the growth of gun violence in our schools, whether it's the impacts of social media and the information that we're able to learn about on a, you know, constant basis, and whether it's the impending destruction that will come from climate change. We feel these things very real, as very real issues that will really impact our future. We look to history and know that young people have always led movements for social change. And so in some ways, I don't know that we're that much different, but we are certainly gearing up to fight for a future that we'd like to live in. And we know that a better world is possible. I think as the election of Donald Trump has showed us, that young people are not apathetic about politics. We're stepping up over the youth voter turnout in 2018, more than doubled compared to 2014. And we're hoping that it will continue to grow into 2020. Because we've got a lot of work left to do.
Okay. Thank you very much, Nick. I probably have time for one more question. And my question is, what do you hope to hear from the Democratic presidential candidates this week?
I think this week what young people are hoping to hear is really valuing the issues and bringing to center stage the issues of our generation. Again, that's racism in our institutions and finally dealing with all of the damage that racism has done to our country. It's gun violence prevention in our communities and schools, figuring out a path to citizenship for immigrants who want to contribute to the fruits of our country, addressing health care and thinking about Medicare for All specifically and bringing that to the forefront. And then, of course, we must be hearing about climate change because it's very real. And I remember even under President Obama, the debate has been over for a long time, and we need to take meaningful action on climate if we're even going to be able to live on this planet. So we're looking to hear about big structural changes that will improve the lives of not only our generation, but of all people in our country and hopefully around the world.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank our guest today, Emily No and Nick Guthman, and our producer, Steve Trippi. We'll be back next Monday afternoon at 3 with a review of the Democratic presidential debate. That's all for now. I'm here every Monday at 3, if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, and unless Donald Trump declares martial law.